Carolyn Evers on Mother's Day, and I'd like to offer great joy and prosperity to all of our mothers out there. I'm delighted to have Carol Haywood back again. She's been on one of our past shows, and for those of you who were fortunate enough to listen to it, you know that you're in for a real treat. Carol is on her way to a Mother's Day celebration, and she's agreed, though, to give us 15 minutes. And this portion, we're kind of doing the show backwards in a sense that I would have her later on to give this information, but since her time is so limited, we're going to start with her right now. And, Carol, before we get into this, today we're going to be talking about the Mary Michael ley lines in England, the Telluric lines in France, and how they're connected to the sacred sites. And so I wanted you to come today because you're a visionary who sees this energy, and I wanted you to give our audience some idea of what the energy is at the Black Madonna sites. But before we do, would you be kind enough to give us your book and the website where it's available?
Absolutely. I have a new book out that's called Passionate Pinky and the Evolutionary Experiment, and it is a lighthearted, delightful sharing of my experiences with my evolutionary opening of my third eye, and I include a lot of my energetic artwork, and also 33% of the proceeds are going to charities around the world. And the website where you can now get in on a book launch special, along with some other good information, is www.passionatepinky.com.
And I would like to say that I heartily endorse Carol's book. It is beautiful. You would love to have it on your cocktail table for all of your guests to see after you read it, of course. It is a work, a beautiful work of art. So, Carol, our 15 minutes is quickly.
Yes, I know.
We talked about energy the last time and what you saw by way of energy, and we had been to some of the sacred sites together that were known as the Black Madonna sites. And so I would like for you, if you would, to describe to the audience what those particular energies looked like.
Yes, it was after I think we had been to about, three or four, I think, that I started to formulate a theory around what the Black Madonnas were representing, because when we were at those sites, the energies were very magnetic, in that the magnetic energy way outweighed the electric energy in the electromagnetic field. Now, magnetic energy consists of the patterns, the matrix, basically, that the light energy adheres to in electromagnetic energy. And that energy, when it gets dense, is very dark. It's almost black. It is a very almost dark charcoal-looking energy because it is so dense and condensed. It's like taking like a lightly woven lace and condensing it into a completely woven fabric. And so there's no space in it. It's very dense and thick and very dark. And so in those places that we went, and especially in France at the Chartres Cathedral, that was where it seemed to be most dramatic, where I really came to that theory, was the energies coming up and down in that particular site were extremely dark. And since they were that way in all of the other places that we visited where the Black Madonna was represented, it seemed to me that perhaps that was the way that the people who previous to us, when they could still see, that the people on the planet had open third eyes and they could see and feel these dense, dark energies, that was perhaps how they were marking these sacred sites through the use of the Black Madonna, that it was a place that the energies, the Mother Earth energies, the magnetic energies that Mother brews tissues from her core were the densest and thickest. And so it made sense to me that that could be a way that these were marked, that it was kind of a secret society that could not be open about them using these energies and being aware of them. So it was a marker that those who were in the inner circle knew that this was a place where these energies were very intense and very strong and very present in these places.
Carol, we've never discussed this before, but I'm sure you would have an opinion on this.
Okay.
When you we were at the at these particular sites, did you have a different sense of consciousness about yourself?
Oh yes, there definitely. When I'm in a place where the the electromagnetic energy is out of balance, for one thing, whether it's either more electric or more magnetic, there is definitely an influence on my circuitry in how I receive energies, how I view energies, and how I feel in response to the energies. And the avenues for perception are become quite unique in these areas where there isn't the balance. And so it is very different for me, too, because I'm not in the same arena as I normally am. And so I am perceiving things on a different level and feeling and in a kind of place of the moment and in the now because it is not familiar. And so I would say there is, I am more connected, I am more in the flow because of being in the present and in the now and in this sort of unfamiliar yet very powerful energy.
So am I understanding you correctly? Are you saying that when you're at a site marked by a Black Madonna's image, that you are, you have a sense of being more in the now?
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to kind of emphasize this a little bit because I think the ancients used these energies without exactly understanding why.
Yes. I would say that there have been probably several phases of ancients, and we've gone through several cycles of people who could see and feel the energies, and then and they do a lot of work and mark them with various things, and then the next group comes along and they know there's something special here, but their evolutionary stage is not one where they can actually perceive the energies the way the previous group does, but they knew that something special was here. And so they would go to these places, and it would be unique for them because they would get into a state of more of a flow, of divine flow, and in the moment and in the now. And it would be a unique feeling for them, even though they didn't really understand what was happening there.
And one little topic to kind of cover, when we went to Rennes-le-Château, would you agree that that site also, even though it didn't have a Black Madonna, as I recall, that that energy was very similar to what was in Chartres?
Yes, and I would say, you know, some of these places used to have Black Madonnas, and through the ages they have been carried off or buried or whatever by various people or groups. And so there are several places that have this similar energy that don't necessarily have a Black Madonna, but do have that same kind of dense magnetic energy. And if I think I'm sure you'll recall that what I noticed when we were sitting in that church in Rennes-le-Château, that everything for me, all the energy went backwards. It was like what usually goes down was going up, and what usually goes up was going down. And that became quite interesting because the father that became famous for all the mysteries in Rennes-le-Château had done some really weird things that people were just scratching their heads about for years. But he had turned many of the icons and statues upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, many of the markers in the little cemetery were upside down. And so, you know, they just kind of, people thought that he was, had gone Fruit Loops. And, but for me, when I was sitting in the church and seeing how everything was upside down and backwards, it made sense. Aha, he also sensed these energies and felt them, and that was his way of marking that this was a place where the energies were very unique and different, and were kind of balanced opposite of what they normally are.
I know as soon as I walked into the chapel and sat down, the first thing I did was went into an altered state.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the people that we talked about, the tourist guides and so forth that we talked about, said that that is a very common thing for people that go there, is they end up just going into this totally altered state. And they've actually had to limit the amount of time that people can stay there, because they would just kind of stay there in this altered state indefinitely, and they'd never be able to go home.
How they like to sit down there for a couple of minutes and out the door that you they,
yeah.
they kicked out.
Yeah, right. So.
Anyway, darling, I could talk to you for hours, sweetheart,
right?
But it's time for you to go.
Yes, my dear, and this is a pleasure, and I would be more than happy to do it again.
We do want you to come back, because I have another segment that's going to connect into the first segment that we did together. Anyway, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
All right.
Okay, dear. Thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, as I said, that was Carol Haywood, and we'll be having her back again, because she certainly does have a different insight that can help individuals understand what's happening at some of these sacred sites, and more than that, how to be able to use this energy. And so that's why I'm really talking about the particular ley lines, what I feel the ancients saw there, but more importantly, how we can use this. And so this is going to be the first of perhaps several segments that we're going to be doing on this topic, because we're not going to be able to get everything in at one time. Now, one of the reasons that I am particularly interested in this topic is because I'm very much aware that my soul group is involved in this particular project, bringing in information that has laid dormant for a period of time. And it's each of us who are on Earth today. We belong to a soul family, and that particular soul family has been given a particular job, so to speak, a duty. And so when each one of you came into the earth plane this time, your soul group gave you a mission to further that particular job that they are most involved with. And so since my soul group is bringing in this information, it is one of the reasons why I am remembering past lifetimes, because at these different points in history where this information has been brought to the surface, another individual who was part of my soul group, you might say part of the reincarnational process, was there. And so I've been able to connect with these past individuals to sort of trace this line. And that's what we're doing here with the ley lines, because it is a new, well, I won't say exactly new, but relatively recent that this has come to our attention, and we're going to be developing this. Well, it was interesting that I decided on this topic today. I didn't really put the two together until I actually started putting my papers together in a sequence of how I was going to give this information, and I realized today was Mother's Day, and how appropriate this was, because we're really talking about our Mother Earth and how we relate to her, how she nourishes us, and the energies that are involved, not only the energies that are involved, but how they connect together and how they interconnect with the cosmos and the cosmic energies that are coming in. And so the first step that I wanted to do is, it made sense to me, since I was going to be talking about the Mary Michael lines, why not pick up the telephone and call Archangel Michael and see what he had to say about it? And, of course, he's always one to oblige, and he gave me this message about those particular lines, and I think you're really going to be interested in what he has to say. He says, these lines in England have been followed by individuals who doused for them. Now, what he is referring to is two people, Hamish Miller and Paul Broadhurst, who have written several books about the Mary Michael lines. One of them is The Sun and the Serpent, and you could find his, this is a book that was printed in England, but you can find the books on his website. And he has several books, and if you're interested in this topic, you really would be interested in seeing his books, because he has some very good maps in the books. Besides the fact, there's a lot of really interesting information. So continuing with what Archangel Michael says, the line is a pathway in the earth that is magnetic from the point of view of earth energy. The earth is magnetic in nature, and there are lines of energy that are anti-magnetic or electric in nature. This is a balancing of energies that come to earth that help hold the planet in its rotational field or pattern. Now, when we were talking to Carol, we were talking about different places and what the energies look like, and she was talking about how some of the places were very dense, how the energy was very compacted. So you have, as I see it, a sort of a push and pull to balance, number one, as our dear Archangel says, in the Earth's rotational field. Everything in the world, and in the cosmos for that matter, is a series of balances and counterbalances, sometimes on a very large and grand scale. Where the lines cross over, there is an additional energy field where the energy of the Earth is strengthened and accentuated. Those who have the sight to see the energy can see these places, but for the most part, these energies are felt rather than seen as they are under the Earth. Well, when Hamish Miller doused all over England, actually he's gone to a lot of other places since he wrote this book, quite fascinating because he's finding out that these lines are everywhere. On his map, and if you haven't seen the maps that Hamish Miller has done of this energy, what you see is a straight line that he draws that lines up the sights, and then what he doused are what he calls the Mary line and the Michael line, and it is a specific energy, and you see how these two lines at certain points cross over one another. And when you look at the map, you then understand what Archangel Michael is talking about when he says how these two lines cross one another, and it is at those places where that energy is strengthened and accentuated. He continues, dowsing works to find them as it is the mind that works with this energy, and there is no boundary of time or space for the mind and its workings. The ancients, or those who were considered pagan, held a belief system that the earth was a goddess and the mother, and she was respected and honored, so that those who believed in this energy were able to attune the mind because of its belief system, and could train themselves to see this energy. You know, we've talked about this so many times. What is in the mind and what you believe how energy follows that, and you can accomplish anything. So, you know, what this is telling us is if you're really interested in seeing this energy, and first you think that it might be possible, and secondly you work with it and you build a belief system around it, you'll be able to attune your mind so that first you feel the energies and then you're able to see them. Now, again, he's talking about the ancient people. They could see that when one stood at a point where the two lines cross, there was an appropriate balancing in the human physical body. This worked on a resonance where like attracts like and actually corrects it. And I'm going to read that again because I think that's a very important statement. They could see that one stood at a point where the two lines crossed. There was an appropriate balancing in the human physical body. This worked on a resonance where like attracts like and actually corrects it. So that the pagans, who we call pagans, they had certain sites that they would go to for physical healing, for fertility. You know, they wanted to bring children into the world and maybe couldn't. So this was part of their belief system. But what Archangel is telling us here as to why this was actually working. The ancients didn't necessarily understand these processes. However, they believed in them because they could see and hear the energies. There is a sound emitted, albeit very difficult to ascertain as it is a low wave frequency, and there had to be much training to hear the energies. But it was those energies that could be found in the sight and sound that the ancients came to respect and ultimately understood how to use them. They used these places, which were actually portals to the higher dimensions, as places of healing and places of fertility. Bringing forth children was a very sacred gift to the ancients, as they needed children to help them become prosperous and also carry on the family name. Birth rates were sometimes difficult to increase because there was food supply problems that the ancients couldn't control the weather and transportation as we're able to do this. And so just to point out what Archangel is saying is that these places where the lines cross one another, the energy is more intense, but it is a portal to the higher dimension. And we're going to get into some of this in some of the other shows on this topic, because this is where some of the beautiful Gothic cathedrals were used, as they were built in such a fashion that they were actually, they understood this portal. They understood it was connected to the higher dimension, and they actually used it as such. So to continue what he says, so there was a myth and sacredness that surrounded these sacred places, and man designated them with either mounds or giant rocks, which eventually were overtaken by the early religions where they built grand cathedrals or small shrines. And so what Carol said when she was chatting with us is that these early people had an open third eye, and they could see things and they could hear things. And then later, as some of these people lost this ability, they had forgotten in a sense. But they were then brought to those places because the early religion built this edifice there where they came to worship. So this was part of the ancient pilgrimages in the Middle Ages, and where there was this great drive to complete a pilgrimage. The pilgrims didn't understand that they were going to these places for the energies involved, but they knew that they were going to receive a gift of some sort. And we'll talk about that later, about some of these ancient pilgrimages. So, furthering his message, he's saying, and we're almost to the end, this information is just surfacing again as it has been hidden for many years as dogma overtook what was thought to be superstitious. Since many of the ancients could not read or write, they lived simply using manual labor to survive and attuned into life from the prompting of spirit. Sometimes their reasoning, rational mind influenced the translation of this information to the conscious mind, and from this, error was born. And so we've touched on this in past shows, how spiritual information comes to us from one side of the brain. It crosses over the third eye, corpus callosum, and then goes to the reasoning side of the brain. And so
Carolyn?
We went through a period of time.
Carolyn?
Yeah.
Are you taking calls?
We're down here to half an hour, and if I take a call.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I won't even be able to cover.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
But the caller, if she wants to send that question to me at my website, I'd be glad to answer it.
You got it.
And that's on the page there. You know, Carolyn at archangelmichaelsconclave.com. I'd be more than delighted to answer it.
You got it. Thank you. I'll let him know.
Okay. And so because we thought the ancients were just superstitious people who didn't really understand the truth as it was given by those in authority, they sort of lost this concept of the prompting of spirit. And Archangel continues and says, man tried to dominate their neighbors, and this still carries on today. And so that's how the religious aspect started in the very beginning, with bringing forth dogma and basically telling people that, you know, you kind of aren't working this out very well by yourselves. You need us to tell you what's accurate. And so humanity lost some of that ability to tune in and understand what they really needed. And Archangel gives us an invitation here, and he is saying, if you are willing, join my conclave. The lessons that I am giving there is but a prompting to remember these past abilities. And for those of you who have not gone to Archangel Michaelsconclave.com, there's a wealth of information there. We have a goddess doorway that has so much information there that all the different goddesses has given us. There's a great deal of information that Archangel Michael has given us. But more importantly than that, what the conclave actually is for those who join the conclave, it is, you might say, a fraternity of light workers, in the sense that this is the place where Archangel Michael is using to give us lessons. We have two lessons up already for the conclave members, and he is leading us to help us remember some of these things that we have forgotten. And it's not just spiritual knowledge that we have forgotten, but the abilities that go with us, with that knowledge. And this is his last paragraph. It was intended that man live using the spiritual senses entwined in their everyday living. When memory was cut, it destroyed a pattern whereby one could trace their actions and ultimately compare their actions to the will of God. Now, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, we were talking about this with Mattia, and it was something that I remembered when I first came to Earth, that there was a connection to Source, and it was like impulses. And we read these impulses, and we knew if our actions were aligned with Source. And when we came down in the physical, down into these dense layers of existence here, that connection was cut. And I remembered that. And I remembered the grieving of what it was like to be separated from Source. And so Archangel continues, and he says, this will come again, but not before much suffering will come to humanity. From the depths of ashes comes rebirth, and then the phoenix rises again. This will be repeated because humanity has been corrupted to believe that there is no God. Even though humanity has free will, they cannot be in opposition to their Creator. To do this is to die spiritually. Life is an adventure of a spirit existing in a physical body. Soon that physical body will advance with the soul and learn how to rejuvenate itself. I'd just like to repeat that last sentence. It's so important. Soon that physical body will advance with the soul and learn how to rejuvenate itself. Now, he doesn't explain this. He doesn't spell this out because he has given this information to us before. He's given it in Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, which is available on the website. And also Pope John Paul has given us the same information. And he's talking about the telomere that is on the chromosome. And there is a scientist, Hayflick, which found through years of study that every time a cell replicates itself, it breaks off a little piece of the telomere. And after a cell replicates itself 50 times, the cell dies. This is what aging is. It is the dying of some of the cells after they've replicated 50 times. And what Archangel is telling us is when we're in the next higher dimension, this will not happen. The telomere will not break off, and the reason that it won't is because our cells are turning to crystalline. And once all of the cells in the body are crystalline, then the telomere will not break off. This is how we are able to rejuvenate the body. And so each layer that we ascend through, we'll be able to rejuvenate our body on each level. This is why they are saying that when we ascend, we will be taking our physical with us. So, I had to go to the source. If we're going to call it the Mary Michael line, then I wanted to find out from our dear friend Michael, the friend that he is, what he had to say about it. Now, the terminology, you know, we hear this word a lot, ley line. Well, where'd the word come from? And this is from The Sun and the Serpent by Hamish Miller and Paul Broadhurst. Like I said, that's a fascinating book. And he talks about, and I'm saying how recent this is, that this information is coming forth. He talks about a man by the name of John Mitchell, and he's in the late 60s. He is standing on the summit of Glastonbury Tor, looking out at the landscapes. And for those of you who might not be know where this is, it is a special place in England. And he's standing out there, and he's looking at the landscape. And it occurs to him that what he is seeing, these ancient spots, they're lined up in lines. And some of these words where these ancient spots are had the word coal, which C-O-L-E in the name. It's a Welsh word, C-O-E-L, and it means light or splendor. There were other words on these ancient sites, Ley, L-E-Y, which meant it's a cleared glade. And it was related to the Saxon word Ley, L-E-Y-E, And I just love this when I read it, because what that ancient Saxon word, which is now obsolete, what that meant was fire. And so what these ancient words were that the ancients named these places was that these were places of fire and light and splendor. And so what better way to name something that is so special with earth energies? Now, that gives us a little insight as to how this time around this information is kind of reviving, starting with the late 60s and where the name came from. And then this information came from a website. This is actually a place in England that has tours to sacred spot. And this was Moon Tour, Cornwall. And I decided to print off this page because I just thought the way this was described, it was so succinct. It gives us an overall picture of what these lines entail. Important sacred sites are, more often than not, found to align with others along straight ley lines. You see this on Hamish Miller's map. It is a straight line. I mean, when these ancient sites are lined up, it is a straight line, like you did it with a ruler. Such lines are known to be ancient routes of pilgrimage, and so the ancients used these lines as pilgrimage. I mean, they knew something was going on, and they followed the lines, and often clearly linked to the cyclic movement of sun and moon, or to the positions of heavenly planets and stars. And, you know, that, when you stop and think about it, you know, these places lined up with the movements of the sun and moon and the heavenly planets and stars. I don't think they had a telescope then, but they somehow knew how to do this. Recent research using Dowson has identified subtle energy flowing serpent-like, and you really notice that when you see the maps around the axis of the geometric lines, and that the sites are actually on or very close to these energy flows rather than the simple geometric alignments. And so Archangel talked about how these lines cross. Well, they've identified all of this through dowsing. And this is the paragraph that I really think explains all this. And they're talking about the Druids and their beliefs. They believe that there were 12 major energy flows that girdled the Earth, giving our planet its life and quality, with a huge network of other lesser energy flows interconnected, so that it was like the Earth's nervous system. And, of course, there's no surprise it had to be 12. I mean, that's a cosmic number. The major flows are believed to have separate balancing male and female energies that intertwine around the ley line like two kundalini serpents around the healing staff of the caduceus. So they go on more, but I think that was kind of the gist of what I wanted to tell you on that. And then Hamish Miller, on his website, he's got some really interesting information, because he defines the difference between a line of earth energy and the ley lines. And so he talks about, we talked about this earlier, the ley lines are what appear to be a straight alignment of three or more sacred significant sites. And so they're linked to sacred sites, stone circles, cathedrals, and churches. But the earth energy, they have lines also. But what they're forming is a complex, close network over, under, and above the planet, and they have a profound effect on all our lives by reacting with our personal biometric fields. So let's think about this a second. We've got ley lines. We have Earth energy. The Earth energy is complex. It is like a closely woven network under, above, around the planet. It affects our lives by reacting with our personal biometric fields. They have significant influence on our many moods and behavior. Hamish has done years of research on this. He's also gone to indigenous people around the world, and so he felt that, you know, their beliefs and how they thought of Mother Earth was probably closest to what we think of as the pagans who set up these things. And here's what he says about it. I truly believe that we are all constantly connected to the Earth field, to everything on this planet, through to the cosmos, across the universe, and finally to the ultimate creator. And I just love this, because what this is telling us, and basically what Archangel Michael is, if you read between the lines, we are all connected. We are all connected to each other. We are all connected to the Earth. The energy fields that are here are connecting all of us. We're being connected through the cosmos, across the universe, and finally to the ultimate creator. I mean, what more could we be saying on Mother's Day that is more beautiful than that? And he says, I hope that my gift may help you realize your full potential. And so if we're talking about anything, we're talking about potential here, potential to help us understand the Earth energies, how we are playing a part in this, and how we can grow from this. Now, this little piece of information came from the Spirit of Matt .com, and they were very interested in the Michael Mary grid system, and so they had, you know, there's many people that bring forth information from Archangel Michael, and perhaps one of the ones that is most well known, of course, is Rhona Harmon. You know, she's been doing this for a long time. Rhona is a dear soul, and I love how she talks about Archangel Michael. She calls him the big guy. I just love it. Anyway, there's a couple little paragraphs of information that she channeled and gave to this website, The Spirit of Mott. And this is what Archangel Michael had given her about the Michael Mary grid system. Thousands of years ago in Earth time, Lady Mary, representing the negative or feminine electromagnetic currents, and I, Michael, radiating the positive or masculine electromagnetic currents, set about infusing the Earth's ley lines with the currents necessary to rebuild the balanced and harmonious golden etheric grid system of the Earth. Rods of power, or vortices, were installed at integral points around the Earth. So he's saying these rods of power were inserted in the Earth, and what Hamish Miller's map is showing, how these two lines cross over like a snake. And golly, those maps are pointing out where the rods of power are. The sacred sites, natural formations that became places of worship as well as great churches and temples, have all been constructed along these ley lines and power points. Down through your many lifetimes on earth, you have been drawn to these places over and over again to receive spiritual sustenance. And each of you, either by your physical presence or in your nightly sojourns in the etheric, has received harmonious energy and encodings from these spiritually magnetized locations. So people, if you haven't gotten on a plane and gotten to this site and got it firsthand in the consciousness, you were there in the etheric during the dream state. I just love it. You've been there, maybe just don't remember being there, but you received harmonious energy and encodings from these spiritually magnetized locations. Now, Archangel didn't say this, but just as a thought, the next time you go to sleep, ask your higher mind to take you there and remember it. No time and space, they tell us. Anything's possible. So going along with what Rona adds to this, but much more transpired than you realized, for you also have helped to activate the grid and spread these currents of light around the earth. You have been both a sender and a receiver of God's light from the earth below and from the heavens above. The earth soul and the oversoul consciousness of humanity are once again becoming attuned one with the other. I would suggest, if you haven't read it, on my page where it has all the information, Mattia is there, I am there. There is a story there about when I worked with Archangel Michael at Mount St. Michael. Read that. It's so beautiful. And it gives us a little bit of an idea how we all of his light workers, participated in this. And so when he says we much more transpired than we realize, we've helped activate the grid. You might not remember it consciously, but hopefully you will start to remember. We've all been a part of this. I think that's why we're so attracted to the thought of earth energies and these sacred places, because we've all been there. We've participated. We go there at night in our dream state. It's our sustenance. It's all part of Mother Earth, our mother. Now, he goes on to say, I have been called the guardian overseer for humanity, and it is time for you to understand as well that the beloved Lady Mary is the feminine aspect of the goddess assigned to oversee humanity's sojourn and descent through this universe. So he goes on to say about how it's been such a privilege for them to guide us and guard us, to direct our every step along the way through the eons of time. As we went forth on our assigned task of co-creating worlds and wondrous things without end. Sometimes when we have a flat tire on the car or the dishwasher overflows, it's really hard to think of ourselves as co-creating worlds and joining with such beings as Archangel Michael to work on wondrous things without end. But he is reminding us we are all part of that. We have done that. And hopefully we can all remember that soon. And so he is saying, along with the essence of the Creator, the memory of our coming together with you and overlighting you with our individualized essence and love was buried deep within your soul and your memory. So although you may have forgotten consciously, you could never forget within the memory of your soul self. We just think we have forgotten. We haven't really. And it is the time for us to go within and start these memories again. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover everything. I guess that's why we have a show this week. For those of you who maybe don't believe and you want to see for yourself, Hamish Miller, on his website, offers hand-forged iron rods. They're finely balanced, he says, polished and lacquered, with handles to suit the size of your hands. So if you order these personally made dowsing rods, then what he asked for, I kind of think, so this intrigues me. He wants you to send an outline of your hand with outstretched fingers, and he makes a set of these rods designed to fit your hand. Well, I don't know if you're all going to go out there dousing or not, but I remember when I was a little kid, I guess I was about two or three, my grandfather had a farm in the country, and how they decided where to dig the well. They didn't have city water. They called the local guy who knew with his dousing rods, and he doused for water, and that's where they dug the well, and that's where they found the water. So, you know, it happens. I'm looking at the clock, always our enemy, it seems. The last thing that I'll probably have time to discuss now is perhaps a lot of you have read The Camino, and this was a book by Shirley MacLaine. And if you read that book, you know that she walked along some of these grid lines. And she took a very interesting trip, and she talks about the hardships that she went through, what it was like. Kind of gave you a little idea of what it might have been like for these pilgrims, how dangerous it was in the Middle Ages for the pilgrims to be making this trip. I mean, you know, we have airplanes, and even though it was a hard trip for Shirley, you know, she had a backpack with food. She was able to get to places and, you know, find some lodgings and find some food, but these pilgrims had a very difficult time. And actually, they weren't even sure if they were going to get back alive. You know, there were robbers on the road, all kinds of perils, wild animals. Certainly wasn't a police system or a fire department. Many of them died, but they did it because they knew how important it was. It became a living goal to them that they could feel and taste. They wanted to be illuminated. And so one of the things that Shirley talks about in this book is what she started to remember, and this seems to be one of the abilities that happens to an individual when they walk over the grid lines for any distance. She started to remember her past lives, and she goes into detail about one of her lifetimes in Atlantis. And actually, I didn't bring this up because I was trying to discuss Shirley MacLaine's past lifetimes. I'm bringing it up because here is a modern-day pilgrim going over some of the same routes that some of the ancient pilgrims went over, and one of the things that she came away with, even though there was a great deal of hardship, she did it, and one of the great gifts that came out of this was the memories of her past lifetime. So she had an understanding, had some sort of an understanding of who she was as an individual, where she came from, what she went through these different lifetimes. And so for her, I would say that was probably a very big gift, because to know where you come from, to know where you've been, gives you a better insight, perhaps, as to where you're going to go in the future. And so I do believe that this is one of the abilities that we are able to pick up by going to some of these sacred places. But, of course, if you go to a sacred place and you don't remember, it's not that you're a failure in that. It could be that your soul, your divine, your I Am presence that is overlighting you just feels that at that particular moment you weren't ready to remember that and to accept it and to grow with it. Now, I have to say, dear friends, we have just scratched the surface. And I would just like to say to you, we're going to continue this because we have so many things to think of. We'll probably do a whole show on Shark Cathedral. We'll have Carol back, because that perhaps is one of the most incredible places that you could be, along with Rennes Le Chateau. For all of you mothers out there, congratulations and blessings. You have done a job well done, and all you need to do is to look into the eyes of your children and just see how wonderful you are. The hand that rocks the cradle certainly does lead humanity. And for those of you who did not come in this lifetime to bring forth children, you had other things that you needed to do. And so you needed the freedom and the time to follow a different mission. And I would like to say to all of you ladies who are goddesses in my mind, you might not have brought children, but you are part of the divine feminine, and you have a place here, again, to help lead, to help inspire. And I send to you my blessings and my love, and I'll sign out. This is Carolyn Evers of The Messenger. Blessings to you all this wonderful Mother's Day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.